it so fits, I guess, with what the Lord's been taking me through in Joshua and Judges. And Judges is such a sad book. I know I preached on this a few years ago, but it's time again. Judges is such a sad book because it's this place of the people becoming like the world around them. And then even worse, the people of God. And the problem was they didn't kick out the enemy when God called them to kick the enemy out. They didn't defeat the enemy when the opportunity to defeat the enemy was there. God said, I give you the land, now go take it. That's in Deuteronomy, right? And I've given you the land, now go take it. Go take it. Go take it. I've given it to you. And we see, if you're reading, I just went through Judges, and it's just so sad. Because right from the very beginning, it's this place of, right from chapter 1, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains, and this is Judah. And they, verse 21, the Benjamites failed to dislodge the Jebusites. And verse 27, but Manasseh didn't drive out the people of Bethshan or Tanakh or Dor or Ibleam or Megiddo. Verse 29, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the Canaanites living in Kitron. And verse 31, nor did Asher drive out those living in Echo or Sidon. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out those living in Beth Shemesh. And verse 34, the Amorites confined the Danites to the hill country. The Danites did the worst of all. The enemy, the Amorites, they actually still had control, and the Danites were pushed to the side. And so just failure after failure after failure after failure. And it's just what I have throughout Joshua and Judges, when it talks about these failures, I just have written in the margin of my Bible over and over again, why? Because God had promised them full victory, but they continually, just one after the other, could not dislodge the enemy. And in Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read it. The angel of the Lord, verse 1, went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give your forefathers. I said, I'll never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you, and they will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. We see, if you read, again, if you read Joshua and Judges, you'll read that there was fear. Even in the very beginning of Judges, it makes me so sad. So I'll read the first, chapter 1, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites? And the Lord answered, Judah is to go. I have given the land into their hands. Then the men of Judah said to the Simeonites, their brothers, come up with us into the territory allotted to us to fight against the Canaanites. We in turn will go with you into yours. Now some might read through that really quickly and say, oh, good, they're going to fight. God didn't say the Simeonites were supposed to go. God said Judah was supposed to go. And instead of Judah saying, yeah, we're going to go do this, they turn to the Simeonites and say, we need your help. And I just get this picture of God in the room saying, didn't you just hear what I said? But it's this lack of faith, this lack of trust, right from the very beginning, right with Judah. And you see others, again, you read through these books, Well, they didn't dislodge them because they were the enemy was determined to stay in the land. Oh, they didn't dislodge them because the enemy had iron chariots. Or they didn't dislodge them because there were many of them. Or they didn't dislodge them because the enemy was were filled with giants. It's like, does any of this make any difference to God? And God is saying, go take the land. Get rid of the enemy. Get rid of the enemy. Chapter 3, verse 2 of Judges. Start at the end of chapter 2, actually. I'll start in verse 20 of chapter 2. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated the covenant that I laid down for their forefathers and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their forefathers did. The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. This is when Joshua was still alive. These are the nations that the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. And he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. So there's this idea of the enemy's there. Joshua comes with the entire army. God doesn't drive them out immediately because he wants them to learn warfare, but the goal is for them to be driven out. But because they weren't driven out in a manner that was pleasing to the timing of the Israelites, then the Israelites actually began to be faithless and allowed the enemy to remain, which was not God's goal at all. And then God says, fine, then I'm going to let them remain there and they're going to be a thorn in your side. So what do I extrapolate from this? What's our modern day? What is God saying to us today? Because this wasn't just written as a history lesson. This was written for us today. Fight the enemy till he's gone. Don't settle for the enemy just living in a distance. Or some of the places, again, if you read in Judges there, it'll talk about they didn't drive them out, but they were subject to forced labor. They didn't drive them out, but they were water carriers for the Israelites. They didn't drive them out, but they lived among them. They didn't drive them out, but they lived in the hill country close by. There's only one or two full victories, and one of those is Caleb, where he's feisty. Oh, I love Caleb. He is so feisty. So Joshua chapter 14, he is someone we can learn from, okay? And both young and old, okay? He's older than you at this point, okay? He's older than Henry, all right? Chapter 14, verse 10 of Joshua. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive, and this is Joshua talking, obviously. This is Caleb talking. He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. He had been talking about how him and Joshua had gone into the land to spy the land. So he was 40 years old when he was sent out. Joshua and Caleb both brought back a good report. They were faithful to the Lord. They were full of faith. We can beat them and all of that. So now it's 45 years later since that time. And he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Wow. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, and the Anakites were giants, okay? Understand that. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. And then Joshua blessed Caleb and he went out and won the land. There's no excuses. Oh, but they're giants. Oh, but their cities are big. Oh, but they have big fortified walls and all of this. I'm 85 years old. I'm an old man. Oh, I'm ready to go. Send me into battle. Arr. Just give me the release and I'm going to get them. That's the attitude we need to have. So what giants do we have in our lives? See, I told you, I'm summing this up really quick here. I'm going to keep my promise. What giants do you have in your life? Fear? Laziness? Cowardice? Unholy anger? Selfishness? Greed? Indifference? Whatever your giants are, go after them. Go after them in the strength of the Lord. Don't just settle for peace with them. As long as it doesn't take over my life, as long as it's not overbearing, I'm good with it. I'm good with a little bit of indifference. I'm good with a little bit of cowardliness. I'm good with a little bit of fear. Even some people, I've shared this before, some people have tried to convince Carlene and I that we're not as good parents as we could be because we don't worry about our children. It's like, you need a little bit of worry in your life. I don't think so. I don't want to introduce that giant into my life. Whatever the giant is, go after it until it's gone, until it's fully defeated, where you can't see it with a telescope, okay, where it's gone. I love that the giant of worry and anxiety died in my life about 10 years ago. And every once in a while, I see some of its little offspring try to make its way back into my territory. And I'm like, no. In the name of Jesus, no. Get out. I pray that, Lord, your peace would flood my land. I pray that I would just remain in your peace. I thank you for this peace that you give. And I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. May the Lord rebuke you. Get out of my life. Get out of my territory. And now I see this giant that has been in my life for so long of insecurity starting to fall. And I can scarcely believe my eyes, right? And it's falling. Now, why has it remained so long in my life? Well, maybe because I started being buddy-buddy with it, where I actually started feeding it. You don't seem to be doing too well, so here you go. I started listening to its ploys and its reasonings. But recently, not just recently, the Lord's been working at me for a while. But through prayer, through the help of Carlene, in a big way, this giant is dying. And I'm not even sure, it might be dead, I don't know. Maybe it's like Goliath, it's on the ground and I'm just standing over it. It's like, kicking it. You dead? Nah, I just need to take out the sword and cut off its head, right? I hope it's dead. But I want to be ready. Now there's other giants in my life that need to fall as well. I don't want them to be thorns in my side. Unless the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, this is from me. It's interesting, by the way, this is just a side note, if you want to make a little bit of a cross-reference connection, it's the same wording that Paul uses when he talks about the thorn in his flesh, and we know it's a messenger of Satan, but with that one, God says, I'm going to let it remain. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay. That's God's will then. But may every enemy that is not of the Lord be driven out. Be determined to drive it out. When you see yourself giving in to unholy thought, to unholy feeling, to unholy action, and you recognize that, hey, this has been in my life a long time. This isn't good. This isn't right. This isn't from the Lord. This isn't a messenger of God. This is a messenger of Satan. And I want to see it out. You know what? I have selfish thoughts too often. We all deal with that every once in a while. We all have fleeting thoughts where the enemy, comes in shoots a few arrows and then runs away. Okay, we all have that. That can happen. And I'm not saying don't be diligent with that either, but that's a different thing. I'm talking about the stuff that you recognize has been habitual in your life. It's been this place of the way you operate, and maybe even the enemy has convinced you that's just who you are. And you've intermarried with the enemy. You study the theme of intermarriage in the Old Testament. It's a tragedy. This joining together with people who worship false gods. And there's not one example of that intermarriage where the person is lifted out of that when they're allowed to walk it out. Like when there's a, well, you can keep worshiping that way, I'll keep worshiping this way. There's not an example of where someone's pulled to holiness. It's always the other way. The only time where it's this place of the person is pulled to holiness, I just read the book of Ruth, and she was. See, may your God be my God. I'm giving up my gods of Moab. And may your God be my God. That's the only time where a person is willing. So, anyways, side note, intermarriage, like thinking with the enemy, no. That's where we need to be. I know I'm jumping over the scripture in that, but that's where we need to be like the people during Nehemiah's day where they send away their foreign wives and their foreign children. Now, this was in a very physical way, but we need to do that in the spiritual way. I distance myself from that thought. I distance myself from that way of thinking. I divorce that way of thinking from my life. I'm no longer going to go down those roads. I divorce myself from that action. Because I see it's ungodly. That is how we walk out this defeating of the giants. Be diligent. Be diligent in fighting those giants. Be diligent in kicking them out of your land. I would never want to hear, and I praise God that we live on this side of the cross, but I would never want to hear God say, fine, you didn't kick them out, now I'm going to let them remain. And they're going to be a thorn in your side the rest of your life. Oh, I've seen that played out in people's lives. Again, though, I believe that on this side of the cross, if we turn to Christ, he will say, okay, now we'll get rid of them. Like, I truly believe that, but do not accept the enemy living in your life. Do not accept it. Okay, so lastly, just practical. Repentance, confession, prayer, choice. Choice. That's big. You repent, you confess, you repent. You pray, you bring it to the Lord, and then as soon as you recognize you're walking it out again, you choose. You choose not to walk that way anymore. I've had to have many conversations with myself. No! No! Stop acting like this. Stop acting like a sulking child. You're a grown man. People actually look up to you for spiritual guidance and you're acting like this? Come on! Grow up in the Lord. These are conversations I'd have with myself. I rebuke insecurity in the name of Jesus. I will not live my life that way. That's part of it. Does that all make sense? Any questions or comments? I think that's the quickest sermon I've ever preached here. Take note. Yep. Yep. We need to hear it, though, otherwise.
I just love that. A couple verses from the end, it says, about Caleb. He says, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And then the very last line is, and the land had rest from war.
Oh, I love that.
And that's like, oh, that's the goal.
Isn't it though? I love that you brought up that verse, right? Because that's where the Lord is leading you. That's where he's leading us. But we need to understand that's where he wants to lead you. Oh, Lord, the giant is so big. And oh, it's been in my life so long. Yeah, but I want to bring you to a place of rest. Where your land has rest. Where your mind has rest. Where your emotions are at rest. Wouldn't it be great to be free from war? Where you're just not battling yourself all the time and you're not battling others. Beautiful thing about doing these Facebook posts, once I was done writing them, see, in the past, it would have driven me crazy. It would have been in my mind long after I wrote them. I wrote them, and then I could just go on with my day. Do-do-do. And if someone wrote something back, I'd read it. Like one person accused me, oh, you're saying I'm a non-Christian? Like, you shouldn't take my faith into... I didn't say that, actually. And then send and on with my day again. Oh, it's beautiful to be at rest. So, yeah. Anyone else? Yep.
When you're reading there in Judges, you know, you have this place of, you know, them staying for God wanted to train them in warfare.
Yes.
Do you think there's really like a spiritual reflection in us?
Absolutely.
How, you know, God wants to really work in us, and like maybe there's a place that we have these giants so that we can overcome them and become warriors for Christ, you know, and be able to help even with other people, and these are sort of things for us to grow in him, you know?
Absolutely, 100%. So, if you're praying over something, and you're diligent, sometimes if it doesn't work out, like if the enemy isn't kicked out, I'm still dealing with the same stuff. I'm still tempted by the same stuff. I'm still reacting the same way. My emotions are still unstable. And I've been praying about this for a while now. Why? Well, part of the answer might be the Lord is growing you up as a mighty warrior. But what happens too often is we give up. We stop fighting. So here's the key. As long as the enemy is in front of you, you fight. Well, what if that's the rest of my life? Then it's the rest of your life. That's just that. But as long as the enemy is in front of you, as long as the enemy is in your territory, as long as you see the enemy coming over the rise or whatever, when you see the enemy, you fight. You battle. In confession, repentance, prayer, and choice. And sometimes the enemy, you see it coming over the hill, if you will. You haven't sinned at all, so you don't need to confess or repent anything, but you still pray and you still choose. It's like, ooh, I see that temptation. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, and I'm choosing not to walk down the path that you're calling me down right now. So as long as the enemy's in front of you, you fight. God is training you for war. Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Just like last week, it kept coming to me too, and now again, but just the fact that when the enemy, like, as long as we're in this body, we're going to have to, right to the end, it's going to be
sure.
A battle. But it teaches us how dependent we are on God. It can be a good thing. Like, it's like not to look at it as negative, but, oh, thank you, God. Like, I see this, but with your help. Like, and so it always keeps our eyes fixed on him.
Absolutely.
It's got to be that. We can't do it on our own.
Absolutely. And we will always be in battle. It's true. But the key here is get the enemy out of your own territory. We can't stop the enemy from testing our borders. If someone wants to launch a strike, we can't stop that. But we can meet him there and fight him. There, but definitely if you see the enemy, you know, he has a lot of places of residence in my life. He feels pretty at home, and in some places he's confined me to the hill country, and he has the good land in the valley that's so like lush and everything. I need to kick him out, okay? That's the key.
Spent the week in Ottawa, grade 8 class trip. And
did you graduate? No, sorry.
I think everybody did, or will. For me personally, it was extremely difficult as I reflect back, mm-hmm. because two things, right? Just the lostness that I just saw it, right? All of Ottawa, right? Just the government, just right from the top. There are Christians around, mm-hmm. but God is not allowed in the whatever the constitution of, like the.
Right.
So it's just, you know, just pounded me all week. And then to battle for grade 8 kids who don't want to follow Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The innocent. So it's tough, right? And so this morning I'm thinking about everything that's gone on, and I just had this vision of this huge dam that I'm pushing against. And God says, just step back. And as I step back, there was still this person holding the dam.
Yeah.
And so in his strength, right?
Yeah. Has to be.
To be reminded that it is like that, the gray area is disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets heavier. But it doesn't have to, right? To remember, and that's my spot right now is to grow in that strength, in His strength, to know that this is going to eliminate the gray areas in my heart. Yeah. This is going to eliminate my selfishness, my self strength, all of that.
Yeah.
What a great place to be, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's difficult, but not when I am reminded, I can step back and see His strength.
Yeah, it's good. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm just reminded of the verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship in song. Lord, I thank you that you have prepared us for battle and you've provided everything we need. I thank you that we don't go into battle alone, because just like 85-year-old Caleb fighting against giants in thickly walled cities, probably with iron chariots and all that, it seems ridiculous. His confidence seems absolutely ridiculous, and yet it was confidence in you, not in himself. So, Lord, you see the giants in our lives, and even where we try to hide it from each other or even ourselves, we can't hide anything from you. I love that you see us perfectly. Lord, teach us how to fight more and more. Thank you for how much we have learned about fighting so far, and teach us more. We want to be fierce warriors for you. In our own, like for our own lives, for the lives of our children, for the lives of our family, for the lives of the church, for the lives of our community, for our country, for the world. We want to be mighty warriors for your glory. And you can do it in us, and you have been doing it in us. Continue to do it in us. Worship you, Lord God. You are worthy. In your name, amen.